So all this hour, we've talked about words sparking a lot of debate today. But we want to take a few minutes now to dive into the history of a word that we all know and accept, but actually ignited a great deal of controversy about 250 years ago. Mark Forsyth writes about rhetoric and the etymology of the English language. In his talk called What's a Snollygoster? A Short Lesson in Political Speak, he explains why the founders of the U.S. decided to give its leader the title of president, after lots of discussion. Here he is on the TED stage in 2012.
To really show you how words and politics interact, I want to take you back to the United States of America just after they'd achieved independence. And they had to face the question of what to call George Washington. They didn't know. What do you call the leader of a Republican country? This was debated in Congress for ages and ages, and there were all sorts of suggestions on the table which might have made it. I mean, some people wanted him to be called Chief Magistrate Washington, and other people His Highness George Washington, and other people Protector of the Liberties of the People of the United States of America Washington. Not that catchy. Some people just wanted to call him king. They thought it was tried and tested, and they weren't even being monarchical there. They had the idea that you could be elected king for a fixed term. And, you know, could have worked. Everybody got insanely bored, actually, because this debate went on for 3 weeks, and I read a diary of this poor senator who just keeps coming back, still on this subject. The reason for the delay and the boredom was that the House of Representatives were against the Senate. The House of Representatives didn't want Washington to get drunk on power. They didn't want to call him king, in case that gave him ideas or his successor ideas. So they wanted to give him the humblest, meagerest, most pathetic title they could think of. And that title was President. President. They didn't invent the title. I mean, it existed before, but it just meant somebody who presides over a meeting. It was like the foreman of the jury, and it didn't have much more grandeur than the term foreman or overseer. There were occasional presidents of little colonial councils and bits of government, but it was really a nothing title. And that's why the Senate objected to it. They said, that's ridiculous, you can't call him president. This guy has to go and sign treaties and meet foreign dignitaries. And who's going to take him seriously if he's got a silly little title like President of the United States of America? And after 3 weeks of debate, in the end, the Senate did not cave in. Instead, they agreed to use the title president for now. But they also wanted it absolutely set down that they didn't agree with it. From a decent respect for the opinions and practice of civilized nations, whether under republican or monarchical forms of government, whose custom it is to annex to the office of the chief magistrate titles of respectability, not bloody president, and that in the intercourse with foreign nations, the majesty of the people of the United States may not be hazarded by an appearance of singularity, i.e., we don't want to look like bloody weirdos. Now, you can learn three interesting things from this. First of all, and this is my favorite, is that so far as I've ever been able to find out, the Senate has never formally endorsed the title of president. Second thing you can learn is that when a government says that this is a temporary measure, you can still be waiting 223 years later. But the third thing you can learn, and this is the really important one, this is the point I want to leave you on, is that the title, President of the United States of America, doesn't sound that humble at all these days, does it? The largest economy in the world and a fleet of drones and all that sort of stuff. Reality and history have endowed that title with grandeur. And so the Senate won in the end. They got their title of respectability. And also the Senate's other worry, the appearance of singularity. Well, it was a singularity back then. And so in the end, the Senate won, and the House of Representatives lost. Because nobody's going to feel that humble when they're told that they are now the President of the United States of America. And that's the important lesson I think you can take away, and the one I want to leave you with. Politicians try to pick words and use words to shape reality and control reality. But in fact, reality changes words far more than words can ever change reality. Thank you very much.
That was author and dissector of words, Mark Forsyth. You can see his full talk at TED.com. Many thanks for listening to our show today on language, words, and politics. This episode was produced by Rachel Faulkner-White, James Delahousie, Harsha Nahada, and Fiona Guerin. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour and me. Our production staff at NPR also includes Katie Monteleone and Matthew Cloutier. Irene Noguchi is our executive producer. Our audio engineers were Gilly Moon and James Willits. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Helen Walters, Alejandra Salazar, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.